All right, ready? Yep. 3, 2, 1, rock. You know, honestly, for all the talk about Buckfast, I didn't think it was that bad. It's like wine coffee to me. It was like well, you know what? You know what it is though. It's because fucking lunatics like us drink Four Loko.
Do they have Four Loko in foreign countries?
I don't think so. Yeah, you just take that for now. But yeah, no, they don't have Four Loko in foreign countries to my knowledge. And I remember we made Ozzy drink one when she came here.
Oh, did we? Oh, dear God.
And she had a great time.
I mean, it is a great time. It is the worst day the next day.
Yeah, because, like, I remember, and I think that was, like, one of the nights before the event. Like, I think we were hanging out before the games, maybe, even, when I got her a Four Loko. Oh, no, no, because, yeah, she came in She came in early,
and we did the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it had to be the show night,
It was
right?
during the show. We had her drink four. We did Four Lokos with Ozzy during the show.
That must have been the worst thing. No wonder she got that picture of her with the shotgun and all.
I still have that. I have a version of that with Heineke and Callum Beaumont as well that never saw the light of day.
Was that on purpose? Did they ask not to be seen? Like
they
that?
Asked not to be seen. So it's like I think Callum.
I think the statute of limitations is over. Fuck him.
Fuck
Callum. Post it.
I think Callum's in my cheetah jacket with like a shotgun, and like Heineke's behind him with like pistols and my cowboy hat or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I have it somewhere. So hello everyone.
Hello everybody. We're back.
Welcome. Yeah, we're back. Welcome to the Chain Ram Podcast.
I'll insert practice chair playing here.
Perfect. Wait. Now here's Fusco's rendition of Highland Wedding at twice speed. Down. Brilliant. We got the edit mark. Hello everyone. My name is Josh. Welcome to the Chain Ram Podcast. If you didn't know, this is an explicit show. So you got 5 seconds to listen to something else. That's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For those of you who are listening in headphones, sucks to suck.
sucks to be you.
listeners can review the show on their podcast platform of choice. Please do. Send us a picture of your review. We'll get some stickers made again. That was always fun. I always like sending out the stickers. You can send in emails and voicemails. We only have one voicemail today, and we've been super light on emails, but we haven't been posting a lot. We've been busy.
That's a good excuse.
We've been busy lads. You can check out the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or if you're Australian, Snapchat, and the Chanarant TikTok at Chanarant, if you're 7.
Oh, we also, I don't know if you know this, we have an OnlyFans now, too.
Do we? Is it just, did you put anything up yet?
Some old videos.
Oh, man.
Some things I've had in my past.
Oh, God.
So look it up, OnlyFans.com/Chanarant.
I didn't see you add the logins to that, to the keys page.
I did not add the keys. I have a private, very controlled version of that.
Check out the Chanarant store, Chanarant.com. This episode brought to you by the lovely patrons of Chanarant who have stuck with us through thick and thin and even thinner and sometimes even thicker.
Not if you ask my girlfriend.
Yeah, you get access to the pre-show bullshit that we just did. We were telling stories about everyone's worst, lowest grade liquor that they've ever had. Because I think ours, this one's climbing the ranks.
Oh, yeah.
It's no Old Smuggler, but goddamn, is it bad. So if you go to patreon.com/Chanarant, $5 a month, you can support the show. And we do discounts for merch sometimes, which
we do.
Yeah, and, you know, just fun stuff.
Yeah, we send out a shirt once a year to a lucky person when I remember to do it.
Yeah exactly.
Listen, this is Chanarant. This is not supposed to be well organized.
No. And last but not least, invite and share with your friends. Fusco, auto open.
God damn it. That's me, by the way.
Oh, shit, I forgot to say. And with me, as always, my trusty bearded co-host, Mr. Andy Fusco.
That's me. All right, on to the next part. it's been a while. We haven't done this well.
Well, I wasn't with you for the last one.
For the last two.
Yeah, I was like, with me, my sunglasses co-host, nobody. But an empty fucking chair.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, what's up, Sco?
You know what really sticks a drumstick right through my old bass drum head?
No, what's that?
When you haven't done the show in 6 months, really, not in any legitimate way, and then you try to get back at it, and things actually run reasonably smoothly in this new studio.
Not too bad. Yeah.
We can't bitch and moan about the technology because things kind of worked.
Well, and I will say I'm fully intending to rebuild the studio, but you don't want to see what it looks like right now. Oh, my God.
We should do a special behind the scenes tour for patrons only.
Of just the guest bed the covered in old Highland Games correspondence that I have to sort out, and just cables because I was cleaning out one of the cable boxes.
Yeah, and I took a shit on that bed there that's in there.
I still haven't smelled it. That's amazing.
Well, you know, sometimes you get lucky.
One in a million ghost shit. Wait, is a ghost shit if you shit and it doesn't smell? Or is a ghost shit when you think you have to shit, you sit down, you shit, but there's nothing in the toilet, nothing happened?
That is, listen.
Or is one a ghost shit and one's a phantom shit?
I think this is a great question for when we get that telephone booth time machine and we go back to talk to Socrates.
Socrates?
And we ask him, what is a ghost shit? He will know the answer.
He'll know. He's like, a ghost shit is and isn't. At all times. I'm like, Schrodinger's shit. Oh, my God. Maybe Schrodinger. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll talk to Schrodinger's shit.
If I feel the poo coming out of my anus, my anus, if you will.
Anus.
But there is no poo in the bowl. Was there ever poo?
Was there ever shit?
Is there an alternate timeline where an alternate version of Josh didn't feel like he had shit at all and suddenly pooped his pants? Suddenly there was just poop. In his
pants. Suddenly malorted.
Yeah, he suddenly malorted his shorts. You got a malort in your shorts there, son.
See? In that same timeline is when the Nazis won World War II and they're banging Beer Boy Brad in the ass when he's blacked out.
Oh, apparently. That's where that alternate story comes from.
That's what I heard.
Okay. That makes sense.
It was a Star Trek episode.
We're back together in studio for 25 minutes and we're already canceled.
YouTube hasn't taken us down yet, it seems. So
that's why you unlist that shit. I don't think they actually run the algorithm on it until after it's posted, depending. I mean, if we played copyright music, we'd have the YouTube SS kicking down the door right now. Nein! Nein, komm verraten Musik! So, hey, buddy, let's start to get through some of these notes. Life checks.
Oh, yeah.
How you been?
I've been good. Things have been going good. It's been a...
We haven't hung out in a while.
No. A lot going on. Highland Games and St. Patrick's Day and the personal pipers of Adele. And,
that's us.
Just things, you know, life. But we're trying to get back into it. I think what made us successful in the early days is come hell or high water, we were like, Friday night, we're showing up. If we've got nothing, we got nothing. And we've become a little uppity. We've gotten a little too good for our own britches.
We're a little too fancy.
And we're like, yeah, you know, they don't really need an episode this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Consistency doesn't make a difference. Well, apparently it does, according to our Patreon supporters. But, we're back. I'm excited to be here. Well, I mean,
We're coming to you live from Shadow of the Moon Studios.
Yeah, we're in Moon Studios here. If you see the giant clusterfuck that is our room.
Yeah, if you're wondering why Fusco's desk is a drum set, and my desk is a stage case.
Yep, that is how we roll. We just take it where we can get it, which is kind of my dating life.
You know, I like to think that we adapt and overcome.
Like the Marines, we're like a Marine.
We're the Marines of podcasting.
Exactly, I love it. I love it. So yeah, man, things have been good. I don't know, personal life. Band's going good. We have things going on.
Yeah, you guys just had a gig, Friday night?
Friday night, yeah. It was good. Pre-Sick New World, which was yesterday, which is basically a big festival that's here in Vegas yesterday.
Big metal festival.
Big metal festival, yeah, which is cool. And what else?
You went home?
Yeah, I went to visit the family.
You went home for a spell?
To visit the family, and that was fun. Went to New York post... winter, which was always better.
Yeah, superior. You mean you don't just get grounded?
No, not usually in the spring or summer. They actually get you to where you're going.
Yeah, they actually say, oh, you know what? Fuck it. We got a pilot. We got stewardesses. Let's fly this fucking thing.
Yeah, let's see what happens. I'm on overtime. It don't matter. I don't need rest.
Yeah, come on. There's an air marshal.
What's this thing do?
You expect me to get up, roll my one-night overnight luggage onto the plane, sit down in the cockpit, press takeoff, wait 4 hours, and then press land? Are you kidding me?
I assume they're just sitting there like there's auto. I mean, everything's computerized now, right? So there's no way they're actually fucking sitting there like this the whole goddamn time. Or
no.
Whatever.
Well, they might be doing this.
Or the stewardess is doing this. Yeah. I don't know. Or wait, whatever the fuck they call them these days.
I'm pretty sure they just sit in the cockpit and play Fortnite.
Remember the good old days in the 50s when stewardesses just gave pilots blowjobs and we all felt safe? Man, yeah. I don't remember them.
Because they were so calm. They were so calm back then.
Joe Brady would remember this. But what's new in your life, man?
The pilot just being like, "Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. I just want to let you know that we are not approved for landing at this time. So we're going to do one more lap, maybe 5 minutes.
Let's see.
And he's here in the background.
5 minutes. No, 6 minutes.
6 minutes till landing.
We're going to circle until I finish my...
We're going to circle till our head stewardess finishes her cream of mushroom soup.
Ah, the good old days. So, what's new in your life, man?
Fuck, man. Nothing. Just busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest.
Ooh, that sounds like a Graham saying.
I don't remember where that one came from. I'm probably already overusing it at this point. No, we did the games. That was the big thing that was, like, sucking my soul out of my anus. And then I was there. I think I took off work starting Wednesday before the event, start set up and all that shit. And then I was back at work on Tuesday after. So then working. I work a lot now because I like money. I didn't used to have money, and now that I've got a little bit, I want more.
Yeah, man. It's nice to actually have money to do shit.
Like when I'm thinking to myself, like when I get home late, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm tired. I don't really want to cook fucking shitty noodles or something for dinner. Oh, wait. I could just order myself like decent food. I forgot. I've got money. Yay. Not enough to do it often, but that one, every now and then when you see something and you're like, ooh, I kind of want that. Wait a minute.
It's kind of funny how that works out, though. You have money to pay for it, but you're probably in the same financial situation as you were when you were broke, but not paying for food.
Could be, yeah. I mean, overall, I think on the uptick, just because, like, I'm trying to, you know, probably buy a new vehicle soon and things like that.
Well, there you go. You mean another new vehicle? You got two already.
Well, the advantage of living like a poor person for a very long time is I'm actually comfortable that way. So as I continue to hopefully get raises and accrue more currency, I still like living like a poor person.
That's what I do.
You're like, oh, do you want the, well, geez, do you want the, you just got paid. Do you want the Johnny Walker Blue? It's like, no, thank you.
No, I will take the...
I'll take the
Black Roberts, Black Roberts Gold Roberts. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, we do have some bluefin tuna that we just flew in from overseas, and I think you would really enjoy it with a nice bottle of red wine.
Hmm. I'll take the fish and chips, please.
I appreciate that, and thank you for the recommendation. How are your McDonald's chicken nuggets?
How's the Filet-O-Fish tonight? Yeah. Dude, listen, I've been living that way for
years.
What
if you brought me one raw potato and a cigarette lighter, and I'll just take care of this myself?
Listen, you make fun of me. I live in a goddamn dorm room, and that's fine. But I have assets.
Smart.
And I can travel, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, right.
Like, fuck it. And I have a nice instrument. I have a couple nice instruments.
So, yeah, moving down the line, we're hopefully going to get back to a semi-normal production schedule. We can't guarantee weekly, but we're going to try to do better.
So we're going to try like hell.
We're going to do better.
We're going to do better. We're going to do better than we have
last year. One of the things that I think helps, too, is that we've kind of gotten the like remote stuff to where it's not horrible. So if we get in a situation where, you know, one of us is out of town or we don't have a shit ton of time to travel across town and set up all this crap,
right,
we could always pop in a quick remote and get a little more sacrifice quality for
done
consistency.
Done is better than perfect, as Doogie likes to say. So we're just going to, like, do them. And if the sound quality sucks, like the Aussie episode, we're just going to do it anyway.
You say if the talent quality sucks?
No, the sound quality.
Oh, the sound quality. I thought you said the talent quality.
Talent, too. I mean,
but I mean, 6-1 way. There's a reason we haven't done another Shan Ran Down Under for 200 episodes.
For 2 years. it's like they're in Northern Ireland internet. Jesus Christ, people, you're a first world country.
Yeah, right. I mean, fuck, man, you got better health care than we do.
Oh, way better, I imagine. I don't know. Fuck if I don't. Let me tell you about the healthcare system in this fucking country. Holy shit.
Oh, you finally get that,
oh,
that
I got
cyst
stories.
Removed?
I got stories. No, it has nothing to do with me. One, I had to cancel my health insurance because, you know, thank God. America's amazing with that shit. But so they haven't figured out yet that those of us that are self-employed can't provide proof of income until April 15th,
yeah.
until taxes get done. So they started charging me full price for insurance because I get subsidized because there's a whole system.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to hopefully help and subsidize small business owners and people who are self-employed.
They do, which was great until they started charging me full price because I did not do my taxes till April 15th, so I couldn't provide anything. So all of a sudden, I started getting $400 a month bills for health.
So you're going to switch to quarterly taxes?
I'm going to have to do something.
That's
but I'll figure it out next year.
That's
when
the only
it all
thing
starts.
I can think of is switching to quarterly filing.
It's a fucking nightmare, dude. So so that was fun. And then, oh my God.
This is the tax law section of the Chanaran podcast, by the way, guys. I know you're all fucking stoked.
So when I was in New York, my father got sick and had to go to the hospital. It just happened to be when I was
there.
He's
an old guy. They get sick.
When I happened to be there. So we took him to the emergency room the day before I came back. And we took him there, 10 a.m. or so on Tuesday. He was in the emergency room until about 4 o'clock the next day. So 30 hours, yeah. Essentially. So the first half of the first 10 hours of that was in the waiting room. The next was in the emergency room,
yeah,
back area, but in the hallway.
When
like he was on a bed in a hallway. Just
when people
sitting
hear
there
10 hours of waiting in an emergency room, they're like, but emergency? No, you'll wait.
No. They're in no hurry.
You got to start bleeding
and
on
I don't
shit.
Know what's
you
going
get,
on.
You want to get quality service in an ER, you better start bleeding on stuff.
Oh, you better be
or
dying.
Start pooping yourself.
You better be dying, yeah. We didn't know if he had a stroke. We didn't know what was going on. So, like, he's on a bed in the hall. Like, in the hall, they have numbers on the... And this is New York. This is, like a high healthcare area, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to, like, California, New York, probably Illinois, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, here, area. We only have one,
like
here, tier one hospital.
It's like a fucking good luck. It's the Wild West out here. So, so I remember, like we were only allowed one person to sit with him at a time. So we'd go, like, sit with him next to his bed. And we're literally in the hallway next to the nurse's station. And there's like 12 people just sitting around. And I'm sure they're doing shit. I'm not saying that they're not. But it's like, we just sat here for 24 hours just waiting for, we don't even know what. Nobody told us anything. There's no like case manager. There's nobody like, so like, what's the next step? Where are we going from here? Can we just take him out? Like, he's not going to die. But like, no, you can't leave. Like, well. What's next? Where are we going from
here? Well, we got to bill Medicare.
Like, what is going on? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've had that. I'll tell you what, man. I try to be pretty mellow. You will never see me turn into a Karen as much as I do at a fucking hospital. Like, when Angus goes in and I start asking questions and people are like, well, it's just that, you know, it's really kind of complicated. I was like, I know it's complicated. Break it the fuck down for me.
Yeah, just tell me what's going on. Like, if you communicate, then guess I'll be less angry because I'm going to at
least
know
what's
going on.
Guess what? I'm not one of those people that likes to think that they're a food critic that bitches at a restaurant. I'm a person who's like, hey, if you tell me a thing, I'm probably going to believe you. I'm going to say, okay, like, now I know more than I knew 15 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But if you're just like, well, you know, it's just kind of, and you're hemming and hawing, I'm like, motherfucker. Guess what? I also know through background that it's an evolving process. You may tell me something today.
Yes,
and this
is well, see, this is the thing.
And
though,
then,
because Americans are stupid. Well, everybody's
and
stupid.
And then 4 hours later, you can just tell me, okay, so this is what we thought
it
was.
Yeah, but you and I are reasonable human beings. And some people are, and a lot of people aren't. So you tell them something, they're going to take that to fucking church.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's why they're afraid to tell us anything, because everybody's fucking
stupid.
They
don't
want to
get sued.
So they don't want to get, like, held to that. Like, just tell me what's going on now. I'm totally okay that it's going to change. There's a chance we're going somewhere else and something else, blah, 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 whatever. But, like, what's the plan here? We're just sitting here waiting. We don't know what.
So how's Ralph?
Oh, he's much better. Like, they finally got him out of emergency room, took him up to a bed. He was there for another 4 or 5 week. And, like, no plan. Like, he was in a hospital bed for, like, a week. Like, where are we going here? Like, what is the end product? Like, give me a clue. So finally, he got moved to a rehab center.
Oh, nice.
He's getting rehabbed for this issue. And he's a million times better. Since they moved him to the rehab place, like, the hospital is the fucking worst. It was like my sister was losing her shit, like, eventually. And I'm very patient. She's pretty patient.
Yeah, but 24 hours awake.
Oh, we were there for a week. Yeah, like, we're like, what are we doing here? Like, what is the plan?
The most trained person is going to start fraying at the edges at that point.
Oh, like, just give me a fucking clue, man. And you know, the nurses are great. Everybody was really nice. But, like, nobody would tell you what's going on.
That's
like,
that's fucking frustrating.
Like, what in the fuck is going on in this world?
One of my serious fears that I've always had. Well, it's a 50-50. One, I have a fear of getting hurt or sick when I'm in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm. Because they'll probably take care of you.
Well, here's the thing. They're going to take care of me and not charge me. I'm just going to have no idea what they said or what's wrong with me.
Well, there's that, yeah.
So, well, I'm glad that Ralph's doing better. But talking to the time that we were apart, the distance between us, separated by a drum set.
We can't reach.
Only when we're passing rum. You did a couple episodes. I got to jump in a little bit on the Joe Brady episode. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet.
My theory with that was, you know, we were traveling. Oh, there's so much going on. I'm just going to do something.
You guys were spilling the tea from what I'm told.
I just want to do something. I just need to do anything. I was just like, hey, Joe Brady's a great guy. I can talk to him all day long.
Yep. Any conversation with Joe.
Josh jumps in, great. If he can't, great. Whatever.
I thought this was great. So I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, so I don't have a lot of context. But I thought this YouTube comment was great. This is the type of dirty laundry. It doesn't need to be on YouTube. Sell it within the band or go to another band. So
that comment threw me because I'm like, what dirty laundry did we? Joe is as politically correct as anybody I've ever known.
That was what I thought was hilarious.
And like, I'm not a dick. Well,
this is on a YouTube video on the Channer Rant channel.
Yeah, so, no, it was on YouTube. Yeah.
So I'm like, well, you know what we do here.
That means somebody listened to it on YouTube, watched the whole fucking thing, and then comment. And we don't know this person. He's not like, it's not like it's Beer Boy Brad or one of our friends or something.
No, because they have a YouTube handle, so we don't know they're there. But
well, true, I suppose.
But sorry, guys, we do air a lot of dirty laundry, and
that's exactly what we do. And like, this guy obviously has no idea.
We often get in trouble for it. I had Caudalgate thrown in my face on Sunday of the Vegas games,
dude. That gets brought up every goddamn year. Every year, I'm at the games and somebody brings
and
up.
I'm like, dude, I don't know what you want me to do.
It was 4 years ago. Like, nobody cares anymore.
Already profusely apologized. Already said that I was a fucking asshole. Like, and it wasn't even
but he's an asshole too, and that's cool too. Yeah, but that's true. I ran into him at Winter Storm this year, and I'm like, oh fuck, it's goddamn Coddle again. I got to deal with this nonsense again.
Yeah, it's always like one of those things. Like, well, blah blah blah. Like 18 years ago, I'm like, bro, you got to get over it. I already admitted that we fucked up. What else do you want me to do?
I mean, you fucked up too. Everybody fucked up.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, everybody fucked up. What do you want me to do? Like, cut off a pinky and mail it to you? Like,
what is this?
I had that during the
Japanese
games.
Mafia? What are we doing?
I had that shit during the games too. I don't know if we're going to get into that today.
We might not.
I haven't sorted it.
I think we should save that for we get that guy on the air.
I just got to figure out who the fucking guy is because I'm going to have a combo.
We'll ask. We'll ask. But so anyway, the Joe Brady episode. Do you think we did anything that was like dirty laundry? Like, so, just honestly, like, what is the problem? What are people afraid of talking about things that happen?
By the time that I got on, I just got on to crack a few jokes because I had no context for what you guys were doing. And I didn't want to, like, derail more than I absolutely had to. So it's like, okay, I logged in. I watched a little bit first. Then I logged in. And then I was like, okay, let me see, like, what they're talking about. And I was like, all right, I'm going to throw a couple, you know, we're a comedy show. Let me throw a couple jokes in there. And then I kind of got the gist of what you guys were talking about, but it was way easier to just punch down on Angel than actually.
Yeah, it's always easy. That's a great one. It's always an easy joke.
Because I didn't have the context of the conversation, and I feel like it's very important, and I haven't listened to it yet, so I still don't have the context of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that one received any sort of review or attention, even if it was just like one negative comment.
I'm sure it wasn't. A lot of people did like it as well.
And like you said, I could talk to Joe all day.
Oh yeah.
There's no wrong time to have Joe Brady on.
Never. Never. Like if Joe would take over this podcast, I would be very ecstatic.
It would be please, it would be,
for the love of God, Joe, take this shit over. So
it'd
we don't have to do it.
Drier than 40-year-old rice inside of a nun's cunt, but yeah, he could take it over.
It might be dry, but like I don't care. Like I just need it to happen.
Listen.
Have you listened to the
I'm Joe Brady.
Andrew Douglas and James fucking whatever the guy's name is, Moyer
podcast? Oh man, they've been doing a lot of stuff lately, yeah.
That's pretty dry.
Very dry.
I do
enjoy both those. It's a cool concept that they're doing. I'd be interested to take a deeper look into like how successful it is.
I have no
idea. But it's also very much like James just letting Andrew be Andrew.
Yes. It's a lot of like, here's the question, and then 10 minutes of Andrew doing it.
It's like, and then you just tell all those little dojo acolytes to go to bagpipeswag.com and buy a shirt, and you're
exactly.
golden.
Exactly. Like,
that's a business model right there. I can't fault the man.
Yeah, I mean, James does what Andrew wants him to do.
I did talk to him.
Great, which I love James. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing him.
I talked to him recently. We're going to have him on the show. He desperately wants to come on.
Oh, we should do James again.
And I think he wants to come on and let the safeties off a little bit.
Ooh, that would be great.
So
I don't think he has I
don't know,
that,
man. He might have to have like a moniker. We might have to just say it's someone else.
Disguise his voice and let him, like, talk.
So how was the Aussie episode? I didn't catch really any of that. I watched a little bit. I was out at the lake.
It happened. I need to edit that and put it out on as a podcast form versus the video form.
Yeah.
But it happened. We had technology issues with the one dude who had internet from 1998, apparently.
Remember when we used to try to loop in Northern Irish?
I told him, I was like, preferably call in from your computer and use a Chromium-based web app because we really need that.
Yep.
Two of the five didn't do that.
Well, I've got fucking EarthNet 96. Is that not good enough?
EarthLink.
Oh, sorry, that was Irish, not Aussie. Oh my God.
But it was fun. We had a good time. We talked for a long time. We were there for like 2 hours.
Yeah, you guys did a hell of a stream because I thought for sure I was going
to
miss it.
I didn't expect it to be that long, but it's just the way it worked out.
I got back from the lake and I was like, well, let me at least like check in, see what they did. And you guys were still on.
It was a long time. I think I saw you pop in or briefly, or just, you said something or whatever.
Yeah, I popped into the I listened for a bit and I was in the chat because I was waiting for people to get cleaned up and we were going to do dinner.
It was a long time. Well, Australians are always funny, but like they were remarkably reserved. I'm like, guys, like you guys are supposed to be fucking off the chain.
I never understand why people like show up to Chanarant with dummy rounds. Like, dude, you know what we do here.
Yeah, but not everybody's like that. They're not all. Actually, most people are not like us, which is probably a good thing. Where they control themselves. They politically correct in some way or whatever you want to call it. We had fun. Don't get me wrong. We definitely talked some shit, but mostly it was, what was the process like? You know, us at the Australian Championships and all the blah, blah, blah.
I think what I do with people is achieving the same goal of like mutual understanding and like polite interaction. I just cut out a lot of steps. I'm like, I'm gonna come at you real hard.
The warm up steps. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna come at you real hard. Be like, hey, I need you to do this, 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 and fucking this. And they're like, but my feelings, don't care. Skip to the end. Well, I guess we could work
people. Yeah, but not everybody's like that. So it takes them a while to warm up. Yeah. So like, it's just like talking about the weather is important to get them to really unleash. You got to like, and by the end, it started to happen. But it was like, man, this took a while.
I don't have 2 hours of warm up to get you going.
It took a while to get them warmed up, but once we got there, it did start to happen, and it was interesting. So, like their drum sergeant, Spotty, man, he is like me on the drum side. He's like one of the big things that I remember. Most significant thing that I remember about it was him basically being burnt out, and which is the exact feeling I have here. Yeah. It's like he's like I just can't start. I just can't start over again, man. Like I don't want to teach the beginners. I don't want to left, right, or whatever. I'm doing this backwards. Left, right. It's that fucking goddamn.
It's not mirrored. It's not mirrored on the street.
Oh my God. But anyway, he was like super like.
Bosco was going to drive home on the wrong side of the fucking road.
I think I'm in Australia at this point. Well, that's a whole other thing. Jesus Christ. Aussie broad, her driving.
Oh, yeah.
What do you, if you had a guess, you haven't heard. I don't know if I've ever brought this up around you. What do you think? She's super safe or she's super crazy?
I would assume she drove like an 80-year-old woman.
No, she's a fucking lunatic. Lunatic.
Jesus, like Andrea level driving?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Tell sister driving?
Like scared for our lives. And I think what it was is she's ultimately late for everything. So like she's fucking driving like a maniac to get there.
It's just a lack of planning.
She's notorious for being late to everything, according to the other guys in the band.
So were the fucking Northern Irish folk. Like, they were all drove like loons because they were like, it's only about a half hour away. And we've got about 5 minutes to get there.
We're going to make up the time. Like, oh my God. And I'm peeking like, out the goddamn window.
It's like, fuck, we're stuck behind a tractor.
No. We were stuck. A horse with a fucking buggy. We were truck.
We had a tractor time too going to the band hall.
Yeah, that happened numerous times. But. Anyway,
and we're just sitting there looking at each other like, what is this, fucking the Shire? Like, what are we talking about?
That's exactly what it looked like, right? In Northern Ireland, it was like the fucking Shire. Rolling hills and horses with buggies.
Granted, you've been more places with vegetation than me. I'm a desert rat. Yes. So for me, I was like, there's fucking, like, did I fuck up the saturation on my eyeballs somehow? Like, how is this so green?
Yes. When you're, dude, that's the big thing. Going East Coast to West Coast. When I first moved to Vegas, like everything was so brown, it was almost.
And also the landscape.
It reacted your eyes. Well.
I
I wasn't going to go there, but okay. My God, it's shocking to the eyes at first for the first couple of years when you go back and forth from green to brown so significantly. I'm used to it. It doesn't faze me now, but
you can be Pacific Northwest and it's just gray.
Just gray and just gray. But anyway, it was a good episode. Check it out. We're going to post. I'll post it soon. I'll get you another beer if you want to kill time while you're
happily. Yeah, no, I just realized that that was a natural stop point before we move on.
I have an erection.
So, I see an addition from my co-host, Mr. Bearded Andy Fusco, regarding the Nickels and Pipe Band, the Vegas Games MSR winners.
Well, you had on there me going to Costa Mesa, which is not happening because I have other things I have to do that weekend, so I can't go.
Yeah, but, I know you guys were talking about it.
But Nicholson is going. They're competing, but I already had plans when this whole thing came together. So if you didn't know, for those who haven't been listening lately, a few of us are playing with the Nicholson Pipe Man I don't know where the fuck they're from. Somewhere in California.
Kind of like Anaheim / Orange County.
We've never been there, so yeah. They come to us. So
you've driven through there on the way to a place more interesting.
Probably. But we played at the Vegas Games for the first time, which was fun.
I didn't get to hear it, unfortunately, but I hear good things. I mean,
it was fucking great.
Was it fucking slap?
Oh, yeah. It was good. The Saturday was medley, which I didn't know, so I only played the MSR that weekend. I hadn't learned it yet. So I played on Sunday. Medley went really well. They like first across the board and all piping all
nice.
Weekend, which is great. The drummers not so much, but Sunday did better. And then a couple of our guys, Fuckface, played with them on Sunday as well as Braden. All of us basically knew the MSR, but not the medley out here, Vegas people. So it was fun though. We jumped in, tuned up a little bit, fucking smooth as butter, man.
Just locked.
Just locked in, like. You know, if you play the same style, you just, all right, I hear him. He's doing a little bit. Oh, he's holding that. Okay, got
it. One of the things I like when we would practice with Daryl, too, is he'd always just be like, so, like, that and that. Hold that longer and don't do the expression that way. Do it this way. I'm like, all right, fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very dojo-esque. The way he plays is, which is great for me because that's what I do anyway. And then Braden just does what I do, so, like, he already knew it. And, so
yeah, Iceman just clones.
He just clones. He just does what's around him and does it. So so it went great, man. We won the MSR on Sunday. And
nice.
The medley, I can't remember how they did. They didn't win it. I just don't remember the details on that one. But it was great fun. We just, like, we got in a circle. We started marching into the circle a couple times. Literally, Braden and I have never played with them ever.
I would say you guys never
played with Daryl. He's come out to play with us, but we've never actually gone there and played in the band. Fucking just locked in. Here we go. Done. Out. Gold. Done.
Nice. Hey, that's what we like to hear.
Yeah. So, like, I remember on they played Saturday. They played the medley. And, like, I went to talk to Jack. Jack Lee was there doing judging and stuff. So, at one point, I just went up to him and said, hi, you know, hey, man, good to see you. You and Dixie, whoever, you know. And he says to me, he's like, you're playing with Nicholson. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. I don't know their set on Saturday, but I'll play Sunday. He's like, this is our after they already heard the set. He's like, who sets up their band? I'm like, oh, the Pipe Major, Daryl, this guy named Daryl, and this other guy named Tim. He's like, I don't know Daryl. I'm like, how do you not know Daryl?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we're all old Seamus band guys. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, whoever's setting up that band knows what they're doing. I'm like, well, that would be Daryl and Tim. So,
yep.
So, congrats, guys. Jack says you guys know how to set up a band.
Uncle Jack, high praise.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there. So.
So, you had a wedding cancellation.
Oh, that was fun. Well, I was already there. So,
the wedding itself got canceled, or
the whole thing?
Yeah. God.
Yeah, check this shit out. So, this was just a week or two ago. I went to the
like Princess Bride status, or like
Little Church of the West, which you've played.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, that's a classic.
You covered for me sometimes. So, I went to play. I had a play there a couple weeks ago, and I show up and I'm like, I was pretty early, and they're like, oh, they'll be here soon, like, as it usually is, the fucking limo screeching in right at the last minute because they're coming from some hotel,
or when I'm playing that one, me screeching in at the last
minute. Well, that too, yeah. So, like, I'll be outside. I went and warmed up, and I'll just be outside wandering around until it's time. So, like, 5 minutes before the wedding's supposed to start, the manager comes out. She's like, Andy, where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm over here. She's like, I'm like, oh boy.
What is it now?
What's going on? And this has never happened to me ever in my life. She says, oh, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? She's like, they're not coming. I'm like, what happened? She's like, the groom has been cheating on the bride, and they canceled the wedding, but they just told us. They just called us. And because we called them, like, hey, are you guys coming? They're like, no.
They even call us usually like 10 minutes before.
She's like, the groom was, he's a cheating asshole. He's been cheating on the bride, and they canceled the wedding, and like, and nobody told anybody? Like, what the fuck? So I'm like, well, that sucks for her. I mean, that's terrible.
You have to assume they had to put a deposit.
Oh, they paid. I was like, she's like, oh, you know, they didn't bring the money for you, but we took money out of the drawer to pay you. They paid me half. I'm like, I don't care. You guys do right by me most of the time, so I don't give a fuck. I'm not that worried about it. I drove here. You paid me half my price. I drive back. I don't have to do anything. Yeah. So she's like, man, that son of a bitch. Like, I'm like, well, you guys, they pay you ahead of time, right? Like, yeah, for the wedding. I'm like, doesn't keep no it. Skin off your nose. Yeah. I'm like, great. That's cool for you.
Keep
so
it.
I thought that was funny. Like, I've never had that happen where somebody canceled the wedding because the other person was cheating. And then, like, it all kind of came to head right at the end. You know, like, oh, shit. Like, well, that sucks to get caught there, man. Sorry for you, bro. Or her, whatever. Either way. So, yeah, that was funny.
And we'll be right back. McClellan Bagpipes by North Carolina artisan bagpipe maker Roddy McClellan from Uist in Scotland. They don't strive to be the biggest, fastest, or the cheapest. They do, however, meticulously craft a small number of warm and stable-sounding instruments of heirloom quality. Roddy has followed this philosophy for over 30 years and continues to evolve with innovations like the Elevation Chanter, designed with North American bands in mind, providing a lower pitch, rich harmonics, and strong, clear projection. Elevation Chanters, along with Chanter Reeds from Adrian Melvin, provide a stable platform for a thick band sound without big overholes. Check out BespokeBagpipes.com for more information. McClellan Bagpipes, born in Scotland, made in the USA. Thank you to those lovely sponsors whose ads we just played.
Thank you, sponsors.
Busco.
Yes, sir.
Now, this next one's a fun one. Are you literally going to try to rip that rum right before you send it?
Yeah, let me just rip this and then we'll send it.
Okay, sounds good.
You want to kill some time while I'm ripping?
So, I once knew a man named Andy Fusco.
Once knew.
He drank rum like, oh my God. Well done, sir. Well done. Oh, he's got it. He's got this, guys. For the audience. I'm seeing some forehead sweat. I'm seeing some sweaty teeth, but I think he's got this.
If I run out, just...
If he runs, well, just take your headphones off first and don't knock anything over.
Good luck getting to the door, not knocking shit over. You can't see what's over here, but...
It's impossible.
Yeah.
We're in the world's worst American Ninja Warrior course.
All right, so are we back?
We are back. Speaking of people who are back, Segway.
Segway. Wait, did I miss the segue?
Ryan. Okay, ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Ready? Speaking of people who are back...
Man, let me tell you, sometimes you just can't get rid of like a bad case of herpes. It's Ryan Randall out there, you know what I'm saying? The old return of Randall. So for those of you that are new to the show, my arch enemy, apparently, which I didn't know this, is a guy named Ryan Randall. And all of what you're about to hear is true, so good luck suing me.
Can I make a caveat too?
Absolutely.
If you guys have ever seen the Rick and Morty episode where he like is just getting tired of Cookie Magneto and like random cunts being their nemesis, like he's like, come on, man! Like all these B-listers.
Can I get an A-lister? Remember the good old days when Steve McWhorter hated us?
Yeah,
like, probably that was A-list. Well, I'm sure he still does, but like that. Those are the good old days of having an enemy.
Like, why am I doing with the B-team?
He was our Lex Luthor, not our Black Spot.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't even have fucking. I don't even have like, you know. Condiment Man, like you're basically being assaulted by Condiment Man.
Oh my God. His superpower is using too much ketchup. Like, I don't understand. But Ryan Randall's back. We're out of nowhere. This happened probably 2 weeks ago. And I'll have you read it because it's neutral. You can be, because you haven't seen this before until I posted
it.
No,
I just saw this.
So Ryan texted me out of nowhere with a, well, go ahead and read it. That's literally exactly the interaction we had.
And I'm going to have to approximate.
Should we explain who Ryan is first?
He's just a cunt. You are so full of shit, Andy. I'm hiring a private I can't do it in my own voice. It'll be clipped. You're so full of shit, Andy. I'm hiring a private investigator to, like, get you doing something. You're being audited.
Okay. I was like,
Oh, your response?
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe we should handle this the old-fashioned way.
Which I'm assuming is a slap fight because you're both musicians.
No, what I meant by that was, like, maybe we should actually sit down and talk about this, or we can do it, you know, we could just fight it out if you really want to go this route. But it wasn't a threat. It was just like, what is your fucking issue, man?
Also, kudos to the private investigator that's going to make some money off this rube.
Yeah, good luck.
Make sure you get paid up front, man.
I have no idea where this came from. What is there? Is the date on it when he sent it?
There's no the other, and there's no prior text too.
No, there's nothing. I've never texted with him in my life that I'm aware of.
End of April.
Yeah. So yeah, this was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever, and it just came out of nowhere. I had no idea.
You should have. So here's where you fucked up. If you want my honest opinion.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Your response should have been, "Who is this?"
That would have drove him nuts, right?
I do that to people all the time when, like, I get some asshole that I don't want to talk to text me. I'm like, "Who is this?" Not. And there's a delineation between new phone, who dis. Because then you're saying, I have a new phone, that's why I don't know who you are.
Is that what who dis means?
Yeah. Okay. No, you just say, who is this? Because then you never even took the time to save their number.
Yeah, that could have been an answer for sure. I'm just so baffled by this guy. But, like, you can't you just can't explain crazy. Yeah. There's just no way around it. I've dated enough crazy women in my life where it's like you just can't.
Well, and people, like, especially people who are having a shitty go,
of
get
life.
Obsessed.
Yeah, yeah.
They get obsessed with figuring out that one focal point for why. It can't be you. It can't be the things you have or have not done. It's got to be this external force that you.
It can't be your choices.
Yeah, it's got to be this external force that you haven't interacted with in, like, 10 years, right?
I haven't even seen them. Probably that long. And here's a guy.
Also, the man's chemically imbalanced.
Well, he's literally a lunatic. He's autistic or something. Pick any goddamn fucking mental disorder. He's got it. But he's also it's classic example of somebody who, I went out of my way to support you when you first came to town, which this is always blows my mind. This is the guy that wanted to set the Guinness World Record for playing bagpipes for the longest period of time straight.
Mm-hmm.
And he had it. I don't know if he still has it, but he had it for a while. And he wanted to do it on the strip because he used to busk at the strip. So I organized people go because he had to have 2 hour. He had to have people witness it for the entire time. So we used the pipe band people to witness it because I thought, oh, this is cool. Yeah. This is fun.
That's a good bit.
Literally, like, I remember being there like, from 2 to 4 in the morning on the bridge of fucking Planet Hollywood or whatever the fuck, because that's where he did it. It was like me and Marcy at the time, because you had to have two people
witnessing. Like nonstop?
Nonstop. You had to have people show up in 2 hour increments.
No, I'm saying are you playing a tune, stopping, starting, or you're literally just going to try to play for.
So I forget the time frame. He had to do it for like 28 hours was the limit or whatever it was. So the way it worked
was constant noise coming out of the bagpipe for 28 hours.
Not exactly. So he had to play every hour he could take a 5 minute break, and every like 4 hours he could take a 15 minute break. Something like that. Okay.
Fucking brutal.
Oh, it would be god awful. I would never, ever, ever, ever want to do
that. Just throw that instrument in the garbage when you're done, by the way.
Total nonsense. So, but he had to also have witnesses, meaning somebody had to be there to sign off that he had done this for 2 hour increments, whatever it was. I don't remember exactly. So I organized our pipe band members to show up on the bridge every 2 to 4 hours to like sit there and listen so they could sign off on him doing it. None of that. No, thank you. No, none of that is remembered that I organized this. He just thinks because I'm in the Las Vegas mafia and limited his ability to play gigs and make money. That I am a fucking scumbag or whatever the fuck I did. So, now granted, as he gets older, he gets more, he becomes more of a lunatic.
Yeah.
And so I every once in a while he'll message me, fuck you, this and that, whatever. In social media,
you're
Facebook,
just
Instagram.
Screenshotting every single
one.
I
screenshot everything.
And save it.
Oh, I save everything.
Put it all in a folder for...
Dude, this is not the first time I've been harassed.
Put it in a folder. Make sure that it's shared to someone else on Google Drive so that when he inevitably, like, you know...
Murders me.
Throws acid in your face,
yeah,
we
yeah,
can...
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know if he still lives here. I don't know if he's here. I don't know where he is. But I've had other people stalk me. Don't get me wrong. You know who it is. I'm not going to mention it. But... But, like, holy Christ, man. This motherfucker. What are you going to do?
I'm not entirely sure.
Can you imagine what it's like to be truly famous? Like, if you're Johnny Depp, what are the things happening to you? Right, remember the guy that tried to kill Reagan was, like, obsessed with Jodie Foster or some shit. Like, there's fucking mental people out there, man. And now, like, we get it on the minimal basis, and I'm like, holy Christ. This is wild.
Yeah, this is why you always fly under the radar, man.
I can't even believe it. So anyway, this is the shit we're dealing with. So he threatened me, and then he posted, Lex has some, was it Lex? Did you see the post with Lex? Oh, no, it was Tim.
Oh, okay.
It was Honey Badger, Tim, Gay House. So Ryan runs a Facebook group of sharing music with other, you know, bagpipe music. So Tim got banned because apparently Ryan runs this group. I don't know. And he got upset.
Yeah, how did that happen?
He got upset because people were asking for the same tune twice. And Tim was like, yo, man, chill out. Like, sometimes people ask for, they can't see it all. Like, you know, whatever. So Tim got banned. And then he posted it to the filthy, whatever was it called?
Filthy Pipe Band?
Filthy Pipe Band group. So and then Lex, of course, posted a picture. Did you see the picture Lex posted?
Oh, I did.
Of the Brian doing the Marilyn Monroe thing?
Yep.
This is the level that we're dealing with. This is the guy that wore a pith helmet to... What the fuck did he wear that for? I can't remember.
Oh, he wore it to the Highland Games once.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember.
I don't even know, man. It's fucking bonkers out there, man. Mental health. Invest in mental health because that's the next growth industry. I tell you what.
Mental health is incredibly important. And for your mental health, I thought we could bookend the story about a hater with a voicemail that we received from a fan.
Oh, we actually have a fan? Somebody actually likes us?
We have a voicemail I received from a fan. I'm playing this off of like Facebook because I didn't put it in the drive folder in time.
Okay.
So if it doesn't come through... Let me know, but it should come through. You've heard all the other computer audio.
Yeah, it's worked so far.
We did have a fan send us a message about the fact that we're trying to do more episodes.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Hello, Chanter Rant Boys. It's me, your biggest fan, Old Joe. Now, I know you boys took some time off of the podcast for Josh to run the Highland Games and for Andrew to get over his latest sexually transmitted disease, but it's time you come back. Your pipe band community, your country, and even your gods need you to... return to spreading the good word and flappy-ass cheeks of tenor drummers everywhere. Please pick up your microphones, pour your whiskeys, and get back to what you do best, pissing off sensitive firefighters. God bless you both, boys, and God bless the United States of Chanter Rant.
So we have a fan.
That fucking motherfucking Joe Biden right there. That's our president.
That's just old Joe.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. Well.
I'm glad to know he's a fan.
How do I respond to the President Joe Biden? Well,
just old Joe.
Thank you,
Mr.
President.
I don't know who it is. Just old Joe.
Thank you, Mr. President, for taking the time to send us a voicemail and supporting the show. Like, I wish he put in an ad for the Patreon because we need more patrons.
Yeah, yeah. That might be able to be arranged. I'll ask him.
I mean, tenor drummer cheeks. We need to clap more cheeks.
Definitely need to clap more cheeks.
I've been out of the game. One thing that I think is important to us being back this year is that we're actually participating in things again, finally.
Yes.
And maybe just offhand because we're playing with, you know, Nicholson or whatever the fuck. But at least we have something to talk about or do. We're seeing people.
Yeah, it's weird.
I plan to clap more cheeks.
Good clap luck. Some cheeks. Yeah. You know, I'm hoping to potentially get out and see some more non-traditional events.
Like what?
I don't know, man. Like there's just not a lot. So, like, Game of Drones was always a fun one. And it was a clusterfuck, and it was, like, it's mostly service bandy. But, like, you know, just shit that's not standing in the sun for 12 hours.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, like, I think that there's so much missed opportunity for fun stuff for people to do. I mean, City of Angels does it really well. They do their, like, park performance, like, exhibition-style thing, which I think is great.
Yeah. They only do that once a year, though, right? I assume.
I have no idea. They might have just beta tested it and decided to do it more. But I just think that's a great, it's a cool idea. Everyone should copy that. Like, have your local bike, if you have local bike bands. If it was us, it would just be us and, it would be four of us and six drunk cops, like, fighting in the goddamn park. So.
Oh, my God. The Emerald Society. Those fucking guys.
Swept.
Well, I don't even want to give them any credit, so we're not going to talk about that. But I'm very curious how they did in Washington this weekend. I'm
without,
sure it was terrible.
Without a bunch of LA players.
Without a bunch of people, without a bunch of ringers. Yeah. But good luck to them.
But that does, I mean, depending on how much time you have left, we've gone for a bit, but not too bad. We did have a bit of a topic of the week.
We did, yes.
So Fusco sent me this article, Slippery Slope. It was on Pipes Drums. And it's kind of talking about, I mean, like all Pipes Drums articles, it heavily focuses on the UK and Scotland specifically. But it does have some things that I think we could take to heart over here in the good old US of A. We have just as much freedom as we have school shootings. Which is a lot.
Right. There's a lot of that. The bullet points, are these like the
those are just something. Those just are some random things that I pulled out from the article. Because the impetus of it was the I'm gonna fuck this up, aren't I? Kincardine, maybe.
Kincardine, yeah, I don't actually know.
Scottish festival, and they tried to host an independent, non-sanctioned pipe band contest, which
this
we've talked about on the show before.
This was in Canada, I believe.
Your guess is as good as mine.
I thought it was Canada that spurred this article.
But I think the idea, like, they tried to host a non-association sanctioned contest.
Right.
Which is something we've talked about before.
Yep. And all the grade one or grade two bands.
I think it was grade two bands boycotted.
Boycotted. Yep. Yep. I remember this. Which is interesting. So, oh man, there's so much to get into here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Especially if you know nothing about anything, like us.
Well, yeah. I'm sure there's context that we'll miss.
Oh, yeah.
But like on a bigger kind of bird's eye view, I kind of get both sides here. I don't want to make a both sides argument.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Pick a side, motherfucker.
Well, I think that it's different depending on geographically where you are, whether your associations are doing enough. Okay. But also, like, I think the associations in the Americas do a lot more for their bands than the associations overseas. I think like the UK associations take your money and tell you to fuck yourself. This is how it goes. They're the spit in the hand, doggy style only. Whereas at least our associations try to give you cunnilingus on your birthday.
Okay. All right. I'm with you still.
So far, so good. But yeah, I'm interested to see what you think. One of the points that they made in the article was that solo contests versus band contests and how non-UK events like ours, and it's not the event, so I want to make a distinction between event and association, because the association doesn't contribute to the organization of the event here. Like, we do all of that, and then we get a sanctioning.
Right. Yeah, that whole sanctioning thing is the thing. But, like, it basically sets the rules out of standard rules.
Which is kind of why I'm both citing is, like, one, I think UK associations kind of suck ass and use it to make sure their wives don't have to work during the week. And, like, our associations, a lot of them are volunteers. A lot of volleys.
I'd say almost 100%.
So it's like a sports analogy of, like, well, you know, why do you have to have the NHL? Well, because you have to have the same rules across the board, right? So there's an argument to be made there.
So what I found interesting about it was the grade two bands decided not to support this game's going rogue. And as an American, I guess my nature is to always go rogue.
Always. Well, what would the harm be, right? Like, what's the harm in playing?
Well,
that's
that? The and ultimately, isn't that the question?
Like when
this game decides to do it their own, like, maybe, I don't know if they're paying money. I don't know. We don't know if, who gives a fuck? Like, you're going to a games, you're getting judged. Are the judges the same? Maybe, maybe not.
Probably.
I bet you they are.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're still getting, not specifically Jack Lee, but those types of the world, most likely. But these guys are sticking with the association to probably make a point. What that point is, I have no fucking idea.
I have no fucking clue.
Because, like, what, other than setting the rules, what does the association do? They set the rules. They qualify the judges, more or less, right? Having some sort of standard for judging, which is, okay, reasonable. What?
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested to know.
So what is the problem with going off the grid other than they're trying to protect themselves because there's probably some benefit to themselves to protect themselves? I don't know.
Some of the conversation, and I can't, you know, because the article kind of jumps all over the globe. So some of the conversation was about, okay, like for an event organizer, you make your money off of revenue of people buying tickets to come in for the most part. So you're an event organizer, you want people to come in, all that. One of the points they made was non-UK associations having a take it or leave it, where it's like, okay, you have to do solos and you have to do pipe band or else you're not sanctioned.
Okay.
Because in the UK, a lot of those are separate.
They're
almost
100%.
All of them. Yeah, almost all of them are separate events.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
So for us out here on the good old Best Coast, like, is that a thing that we need to look at? Of like, hey, like, maybe a solo is a different event than a band contest. But how do you populate a solo contest here? Most of the people, the reason that they're going to sign up for solos is because they're already there for their band.
Correct. I think there's no way around this. It's a limitation of size.
It's a limitation of geography. It's a limitation of the amount of players.
It's like, you know,
like, you want me to pay separately to come out for my band?
Like, think about how much it takes to pay a judge to come out.
And this
talking
is
a flight, probably $5,000.
This is where they miss the mark. Like, I think where they miss the mark on this idea of, like, well, why doesn't the U.S. just separate solo and band contests? Like, dude, now you're talking about Joe Blow. Before we even get to judges and venues and all those fees that are associated, now you're talking about, hey, I'm a dude. I work at a fucking, for an elevator union. I play in a band, so I travel to all the band contests because I play in the band. I'm obligated. I want to do solos. I want to improve myself as a competitor. Now I got to go to Vegas twice. That's two car rides, two flights, two hotels. Yeah, that's before the $10,000 it costs to get a bunch of fucking judges in, and now you're in twice.
Or whatever. Yeah, like, think about, like, to have enough judges to grade all the levels. You're probably looking at least four. So they're probably making $1,000 at least. I don't know. But I'm going to guess at least $1,000 for a day or a weekend, plus their flight, which is probably $500 to $1,500, depending where they're coming from. You're not making that money on fucking fees, registration fees.
Well, now and then, so
who's paying for this?
To continue down the avenue, okay, so what pays for that solo contest? I'm not fucking selling tickets.
You're not selling tickets. Who's going to go watch that?
There's not vendor fees that I'm collecting for food vendors for the solo contest.
No.
I think this is why everyone's so afraid of online solos.
I think online solos are the only way to go. It's the only viable option. Like, I guess it depends. Like, okay, so from a competitor standpoint, what do they want out of solo competing? What is the benefit to solo competing?
It's to be judged and improve.
It's to receive feedback on what you've done up to a certain point. Yeah. And you know, maybe some people, like, all right, I get first place and I get the ego boost and cool, whatever. Maybe that's a big part of it. But I would suspect not. Okay, that's probably the part of it that we want. Everybody wants to win, of course, especially here. But is that really, what is the benefit of a solo competition? It's to perform for somebody that actually knows what they're listening to. So it's like, put in some effort that you actually, that matters, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right. So for the competitor, what's the benefit? It's to get some feedback from a high level person that maybe you respect or you've never heard of, probably.
Depending.
There's a lot of those that you've never heard of. But is that beneficial to do it in a field on the day? I mean, I'm sure there is. There's some benefit to that versus doing it online. There's difference.
But like, okay, so if you designed, and here's my organizer hat coming on. Let's say that I had unlimited money, mm-hmm. which I fucking do not. And I was like, I want to host a phenomenal indoor, like Glenfiddich style fucking indoor. Mm-hmm. Great. I fly all the judges down. I book a venue. I get their hotels. I get their flights. My judges start charging me from the cab fare from their house to the airport.
Oh, I'm like, aware. I've been on the receiving end of paying for that shit.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, cool. So now I've dumped all this cash into judges. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. I get a nice venue. Venue maybe cost me $2,500, $3,000. Okay, cool. So now I'm in for like 10-ish. Then, because of geography, like because I have a nice venue with respected judges in Las Vegas, Nevada, how many people do you think I'm honestly going to get to show up when they're already planning on coming to the Vegas games that are grade 3 through 5, that are really the vast majority of players in the area?
To compete or to watch?
To compete. Like an indoor Glenfiddich style grade 4 contest. Like, I'm not going to get a bunch of grade 1 and pros out. And if I do...
If you offer enough money,
I'm about to say, if I do, it costs even more, because now I'm talking about prize money for an event.
Well, for pros, you have to, yeah, absolutely. And then you have to have the right judges that they're going to want to bother to come out for, which is going to cost you even
everything
more.
Everything goes up, and then what's my income there? Like,
there's none.
They pay $30 for entry just to make sure they actually show?
But to be fair, think about the history of supporting musicians. Like, think about Mozart and whatever the fuck, any classical old school.
Oh, I would love.
How
would,
was that shit supported?
If I had a house made of gold, I could use to carve a few pieces off to support. That'd be amazing.
No, but think about it. Like, how was that kind of shit? How was art and music supported in the past?
It was supported by royalty,
the church and royalty.
Yeah,
100%. Like, it was for the sake of, because we've got money and we're gonna spend.
And we're
it
gonna
somewhere.
Spend it. And now it's supported
now
largely
now in
by
America,
all volunteer nonprofits.
Exactly, which is essentially the problem. Like, we don't take into account the fact that so much music and art is supported by rich people. Like,
was supported
in America 100 years ago. The Metropolitan and all this shit that happened was all like Carnegie and shit like that. Like now we're trying to make. I don't want to say we're trying to make money. Like, your organization, for example, is probably trying to break even
on a
most
good day.
Likely.
on a good day.
But like, you're still doing it with a capitalistic mentality, which is not the way art is ever done.
Yeah, and that's only right? And that's only the survivability argument. Like, the reason that I have to treat it like a business is because the moment I don't, and I say, let's give everyone everything they want, that we do one amazing event and we never do anything else again because we're bankrupt.
No, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying these two things do not combine naturally, right? The capitalistic, we got to make money to keep this thing going, and the fact that artists are always supported by
But they're not
Marxism.
Anymore. I mean,
well, yeah they kind of are in a lot of places. Like, you get grants for shit. Like, think about all the art schools and all the shit. Like, the parents pay for that. They pay tuition for the shit. Like, there's no tax base for this. There's no profit in any of this, right? Unless you're Metallica or something of that. U2 playing at the goddamn
well, you have to be rich.
Circle, the big globe at the fucking resort world or whatever the hell it's called.
But you have to be.
It's rich and poor, man.
It's easy 100%. To support the arts when you're rich. When
if
you're
you
poor,
care about it.
When you're poor, it's fucking hard, whether you care about it or not.
Right.
And so, like, when you look at a lot of the organizations on the West Coast that are fucking razor thin budgets, trying to support the arts, like, that's where I think there's a disconnect. And you know, going back to the original concept of, well, why not just throw a separate contest for solos? Like, I can't. Are you fucking kidding me? I can't even fly the judges back twice a year.
No, it's not viable here.
Like, it's just not how it
works. It could be. Maybe
and I fully agree with some of the points. Like, I agree that the general public doesn't give a shit about watching solos at the Las Vegas Highland Games. The people who are there to watch solos at the Las Vegas Highland Games are competitors, their parents, their friends. And the gates open an hour earlier than they do for the general public just because there's so many of them that that's the only way we can get it done on time.
True. However, that's not any different, at least in America. In sports, for example.
Yeah.
Sports are highly successful here and probably in the entire world. But like your daughter's soccer team or whoever, nobody's watching that. Nobody's paying to watch that, right? You don't go to a soccer field and pay to watch your kids play. Like, it just never happens that way. How do they support what they do? Fees. They charge the kids to play, right? And it buys their uniform and it buys the field time and it buys their trip probably, or maybe that's handled separately. Like, that's a huge, like, think about the sports.
So if the entry fees,
because they've got it down, they figured it out.
So but if the entry fees were $75 a person,
you'd have to be way higher, but nobody's willing to pay for that for music. They're willing to do it for sports for whatever reason.
Well, I'm talking about for the competitors, because like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, your kid,
I want
to
play
be part of the pipe, and guess what we're doing? We're paying them for gigs because we're desperate to get people into the art. Like, we're not charging them $150. Well, maybe some bands are. I don't know. Joe Brady might be. I don't know how it works. But, like,
Joe Brady has you cut off one of your own fingers. You get to pick.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know. But, like, it's a different. The funds are important. The behind the scene funds are important to how to make this shit work. And if you're an art type person versus a sports type person, it's just not the same importance. It's just not. And how you, good luck figuring out how to make that a difference. I don't know. But like, people are willing to spend, all right, my kid's got to join the soccer team or the football team or the baseball team. They're going to spend, they're going to give them $500 to be a part of the travel team for the season, which is 2 or 3 months long. I have friends that have kids mm-hmm. in these
companies. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not how we do it. That's not at all how we do it.
And I don't know that it's a thing that we could do.
I don't know if it is either.
Because if you think about it, right? Like, okay, my kid, let's say you got a kid that's like going to high school or in middle school, so college applications on the radar, right? Mm-hmm. What's the feed for that? Like, a lot of people who do that sports stuff, my boss has got kids on the wrestling team, right? And so I'm sure that he supports and is on the board and is a sponsor and pays for all kinds of different stuff and all that.
What do they call that?
And the wrestling
the
team.
Auxiliary, like the people.
Yeah, parents, yeah, like the parents.
Fundraisers, I forget what they call them. But.
And so then you get a thing where it's like, okay, great, but like, you get a scholarship. Like, you're on the wrestling team for long enough, you get good, like, you can get a scholarship.
Sure.
Knocks, like, that's an investment in their mind because, hey, I might pay this much now, but I'm knocking off how much money in a, you know, if they get a full ride to a school based on wrestling when they want to be a mechanical engineer.
Mm-hmm. You could do that for pipes, though. There's school. I mean, there's way less.
Way less. Yeah, exactly.
But even if you're playing trumpet in the marching band, there's scholarships
yeah.
for that. If you want to
yeah, I mean, marching band, orchestra. I have friends that did scholarships based on marching band and orchestra. Oh, yeah. I have very few friends that did scholarships based on pipe band.
It's much more rare.
So when you're
course,
talking about that parents auxiliary, it's like, shit, man. Half of the money that they're spending that could be considered auxiliary would be the fact that they're driving to Costa Mesa to have their kid play in a contest right. and getting hotels and eating Sizzler.
Right. Which, by the way, Sizzler is amazing.
Sizzler's, I mean, you'll poop.
You'll definitely clean
up. Hey, you little backed up, go get a skirt steak at Sizzler. That'll sort you out.
Oh, my God, the salad bar. That'll clean. Oh, yeah. But
yeah, so I think where they missed they missed the mark in a couple places on this. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the idea of having independent events. I think there shouldn't be as much of a stigma around them. I think that City of Angels has done a really good job of doing exhibition style events, you know, which they also have the advantage of geography somewhat because there's like 8 pipe bands in the area that only have to drive 45 minutes to be there.
Right.
And they don't have to get a hotel and they can just go home.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not that it could never work. It's just you can't do it on the regular. Maybe once a year.
And the stigma, again, like, I am fully for what we learned during COVID, which was online contests, much more personalized feedback, like, The one that they submitted was probably the eighth take that they did, if not the 45th take that they did. So you're kind of encouraging them to play more. It's not a flat playing field because you don't have all the stress of playing live.
Well, some do it live, but
I don't rare. See I don't see a way. Like, I don't want that to be a stigma either. I don't want people to be like, online contest? Like, fuck you, man. I'm playing. I'm out there.
It's definitely a thing. Some people definitely turn their nose up at it, but it's also, I think, because they don't know they're technologically challenged. So they're like, I just don't want to deal with it, which is fair. But also, like, if this is what it is and you want to compete, then you fucking do it.
Well, it's a lot of people who are hemming and hawing and like, well, you know, online contest doesn't have the same feel as on the day. And you need the pressure and you need to be around your peers and you need to be like looking the judge in the eye. And that's probably the same person.
This is the thing the article talks about.
That's probably the same person that
to change.
It's probably the same person that like walks up to their like grade 3 Strass Bay Reel contest and like blows their chanter into the grass and then just walks off.
Well, I mean, how much effort are they actually putting into doing their best on the day anyway? Well, probably almost minimal.
If I don't have panic shits for 6 hours first thing in the morning, it's not a contest.
One thing I love to do is not sleep the day before a Saturday, so I'm going to go to a contest.
But if I'm not trying to play my MSR with bedbugs from Motel 6, it's not a contest.
Well, exactly. So, like, yeah, of course that's a thing, but that doesn't mean online is any less of a thing. It's just a different thing.
Just a different thing.
Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's XFL great to do it in the moment.
XFL is different than NFL.
For sure. And like doing it in one take on the moment is a different skill than doing it picking your best. But I've seen both. I've taught people that do both. And I would say most people, definitely more than 50%, but I would say it's probably way higher than that, would prefer to do it in person because they just get it done. Otherwise, they stress out. They do 100 recordings. It's not reasonable. It's not at all.
And it's more fun. Your friends are there. You go get a beer after.
Right. Which is fine. But you have to deal with the fact that you're going to get up early and you're going to do the band contest the same day.
You're going to do mass bands.
Do it all again.
You're going to listen to inappropriate jokes while you fucking die in the sun.
You're just going to have to. It's just what you deal with here. Like, we're in the UK, they have a different thing. Everybody's 30 minutes away from each other. So, you know, all right. They're probably bitching, oh, I can't believe I got to drive 33 minutes for this one.
Yeah, for contest.
But like the solos.
We're going to have
like,
to leave by 7:30 in the morning.
But the other thing, they do it in a different time of year. Solos are in the winter. Bands are in the summer, so it's granted they're never going to break, but what else is there?
There's an off-season opportunity.
Yeah. So it's just.
But I just don't see any organizations, at least on the West Coast, that can do anything other than online for a separate solo contest.
Sorry.
I mean,
one more time.
I don't see any organizations on the West Coast of the United States of America that could do I like the idea of an off-season event. I mean, Winter Storm is like a. Kind of solo-y off-season event.
Yeah, 100%.
Whistlebook could do something like that. They have money. More than that.
Yeah, but would people show up is the question. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Like, until you try, until it fails, you don't know, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you don't know until you go to the bank on Monday. Trust me.
I was like, oh, it's still open. My account's still open. They haven't they haven't sued me for negligent
it's not,
funds
yeah,
or whatever.
It's not negative $10,000 in the bank. Look at us go.
Yeah, it's very complicated. The whole goddamn thing is very complicated. And
Well, I think it's a lot more complicated, and this is not to, like, I've learned a lot having changed positions, having to do a lot more for our event. I would encourage everyone to just think about all the parts that go into it, all the moving parts of the whole that aren't showing up and playing, because showing up and playing is the most fun part.
Yeah. Well, being there, meeting people, having fun with your friends, being part of something, feeling like you're part of something. But I also think it's possible that, see, I don't know, this goes down a road, but like offering, okay, so the current way things are done, meaning like the rules,
mm-hmm.
are maybe not conducive to what modern times can make happen. And what I mean by that is like, okay, in grade 4, you got to have 6 pipers, 2 snares and a bass. A lot of bands are fucked right now. So maybe start offering mini band contests at these things in the U.S.
Yeah, versus, that'd be a good idea.
Versus like, yeah, they offer, you know, over there, but it's like, it's always an offshoot, but that's okay. At least it gives you, I mean, Inverary is never going to have a problem providing a band versus a quartet. Like, you do the quartet contest, whatever it is.
And that was like when they did the
4-2-1
when Wake did their online mini band.
Yeah,
that was a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why? And I remember the Vegas games 20 years ago did this once that I remember, and it might have been more, but once that I specifically remember, where they offered a quartet type thing where it was like four pipers, a bass, and two snares or something like that, where it wasn't like six, whatever it was, mm-hmm. something slightly different. Because a lot of bands are
Was it by grade or was it just like...
I don't remember specifically.
Kitchen piping almost.
It was still kind of like an MSR style.
Because I love the idea, because then you could be like, hey, I'm not in a band right now. One of my other friends isn't in a band right now. Two of our other friends aren't in bands right now. Like, we'll just go compete in the quartet.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, that would be cool if you get a bunch of, like, you start scooping up randoms that were, maybe they were there to solo anyway.
Exactly. Like, hey, here's our quick set. We're going to throw this together. Let's go practice it real quick. Oh, it's not bad. Put it on the main stage. Put it on some stage that's not the fucking pipe band gulag that nobody goes to or whatever. Like, do something different. Like, yeah. Put four, even if it's just four pipers.
That'd
like,
be cool.
Something. Anything that's well, different.
I mean, it'd be, hey, minimum is four. Four
that's,
musicians.
That's hard not to come together with. Yeah, it could be three pipers and a snare for all we
can. It could be three snares and a piper. I don't give a fuck.
Do anything. Like, oh my God. And that leads into some of our wins and fails if we ever get to it. But, like,
oh
just,
God. Yeah, I thought we were going to rap soon. Yeah, wins and fails.
Just changing up the possibilities. Yeah, okay. You can always offer the traditional old school MSR, all the grades, but also offer these other things because. People are here to play, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Until you try, who knows?
So you want to get to some wins and fail? I thought we were going to wrap soon, but we can win and fail it for a bit. Get ourselves back in a funny mood. Crack some jokes.
It's up to you.
Unless you want to push any of those till next week.
Well, we certainly can. We're never at a loss for needing more shit to do.
Well, let's do wins and fails. That'll be a palate cleanser.
I have more rum. It's less shitty rum.
Send it. Next time I'll bring a glass.
All right, let me get that, and then we'll. You want to? Do you have them already prepared, or do you want to play them, or what are you going to play?
I have no idea. Did you put them in the show
They're
notes?
They're in the show notes. Yeah.
Okay, then I can cue them up. How'd you guys end up with so much rum? That's what I want to know. I know you're butt pirates, but are you pirate pirates now?
Those guys like rum. That's what they drink. I don't ever drink rum.
This one's still got the security tag on it.
I see that. I wonder if that was stolen. Oh, that is even worse. Oh, that is. I think it's just old.
Well, at least I get.
This is what Captain Morgan's tastes like? You tell me, because I haven't had this in years.
Yep, they heard it. Okay, right, I'm gonna go back to the beginning.
All right, we doing fail first.
This is the fail. It's almost as bad as this rum. Is that Graham?
Sounds like it.
Looks like him.
So, oh, listen to this. Maul the guitar. Okay, it took me a second. First one was Myra's Wedding.
Dude, believe it or not. He's got forearm tattoos, too. Are you sure this isn't Graham?
He looks like he's got the long gray hair, right?
No, Graham cut his hair. Well. Was this recent?
Yeah, it's posted recently. This is a guy playing on a cruise, correct?
Yep.
Oh, Daddy Boy. He's playing Daddy Boy now. I missed the one before. I don't know what that was.
No, this is 2023.
Yeah, it's a cruise. The guy was playing at their... What's it called? Like the World's Music Cruise or something?
Yeah. It's called the... A guest plays a bagpipe as a World Cruise 2023 farewell at Island Princess Crooner's Bar over the Pacific Ocean on 5/7/23. Can't be Graham.
When the dojo did the cruise...
It looks
and
like
we,
him, though.
And we played down the cruise. Did not sound like... Even all the beginners we had did not sound like it.
Oh, fuck. He's going to keep going, huh?
I guess. How long is this video? I only saw it. I listened to the first 10 seconds.
2 minutes and 51 seconds.
I was like, this is perfect.
Well, at least there's clapping.
What are they clapping to? He's got no rhythm.
Da, 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 da. What do you think? Solid
what
cutoff?
Let's hear his cutoff.
Rum turns Fusco into a minion.
Because quite frankly, we don't need to hear this whole thing.
Oh, it's not Graham. Close up on the face.
Hey, it's a decent cutoff. He got that right.
Man, that was pretty horrible.
This rum is terrible. Did you try this?
Yeah, it's not good.
Is there something wrong? Is it taste
no,
like
it's just not good.
Off. Like. Anyway. So that was our fail of the week. We'll post that when you listen to this later.
All right, guys. Oh man. So I gotta get the next one.
So do
going.
The win of the week and then the try.
Oh, they can't see it though because I didn't cut over. That's
God
me.
Damn it.
It's me fucking up.
God damn it. We need a producer.
I need two more. I need a
director or cameraman.
Another screen.
Or somebody.
So you want the win or the try?
Do the win next, and then the try last, because the try I want to talk about. Okay. The win is Adele's band, Del Boy. When you
get your gotta cut out the ad. Give me a moment.
Also, our bass drummer friend, what's his name? You know him, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Is in this band. This is Klaus Kell.
Okay.
Also, arguably one of the hottest chicks in pipe band in this band. You'll see her. She's right on the camera side. We can just play the opening hornpipe, maybe. This is Del. She's on the right side as well.
God damn, they're hot shit.
They're not Ember Air quality, but they're getting it. See Del in there? She's always the big drum.
Well, every drum looks big when Adele's wearing it.
Well, that's true. She likes to take the old big drum, you know what I'm saying? Mm. you switch the camera into like the YouTube stack.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's back.
Oh yeah, you're behind.
Butterfingers, I love this tune. Just play the end of the jig and then we'll stop it because I'm curious if they play the whole thing. Oh, no, they jumped to the fourth part. Okay, so they skip. That's cool. Yeah, cool. So, congratulations, Klaus Kell. You guys are sounding awesome. I appreciate it.
10 out of 10.
As usual, and some of the hottest chicks in pipe band in Klaus Kell. I appreciate that fact as well. Probably and some hot moms as well. It's Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day after all. Did we talk about that at all?
We have not, but I guess we'll skip that part.
Happy Mother's
Day. Just say
Day.
That Fuko loves moms, as we all know.
Fuko loves moms almost as much as he loves it when he doesn't make someone a mom.
We can't say that for sure. We just don't know. So then our last one is the try of the week. And hit pause for a sec.
Okay.
I don't hate this. And I'm curious what you think, Josh. You're going in blind. You've never heard this.
I've not heard this.
I came across this recently. And I'm not going to say, I don't want to lead you. So I want you to listen to a good, I'll tell you when to stop it.
Okay.
So that you can, so that you'll know when to make a judgment call. But go ahead.
Okay. Sending.
At first it's going to seem like a fail. And you'll see.
Thank you. look at the 200 drums versus 30 pipes.
12 pipes. Yeah, maybe 15. Yeah. I'm watching on delay, so I'm a little confused. But
we're just getting to the end of the procession.
I think that's probably a good place to start.
Yeah,
stop.
So, what drew you to this as a try?
So, what's the name of the band? And I think Rab will know this. Or he should, probably, because I think he interviewed these guys once.
It could be a different band. The Orthodox Band.
It's the Orthodox Band. And I think they're from Israel, but they could be from Saudi Arabia. I'm not 100% sure. But it's called the Orthodox Arab Kids Band. What do they call them? Boys Band? It was
co-ed.
I can't think of the name of it. They call it that, but you know. So anyway, what drew me to this was the drumming, which was really fun.
Pretty significant and fun drumming, considering the fact that you, like the pipers, like at some point during the video, you may have seen if you watched the video. If not, we'll put it in the show notes. We never do that, by the way, but we'll put it in. But
I'll try to get
They move the bass drummers ahead of the pipers, and then the tenors and snares actually are still pretty
locked
in. They
had snares, but they also had the fucking quads.
And they were the quads, and it was pretty locked in. I mean,
the drummers were locked in, and it was big.
I noticed the pipes. I noticed the pipes, no drones.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Maybe
so. It could have been a camera microphone thing, but when they stopped and started again, there was no drone period. It was all chanter.
Could have been. Yeah, it could have been. And maybe that's a thing that they do. I don't know anything about their style of music. But like,
but the drums slapped.
But it was like even the snares were pretty tight for doing something.
No, I thought it slapped pretty well.
Yeah. And they were doing the
pipes were fucking cacophonous.
Like I was like, I would have fun playing with drummers like that. Like even if you're playing like, but like you could play Scott and the Brave.
Yeah, the pipes sounded like if you know that big toilet bowl ride they had at Wet n Wild?
Yeah.
So if you took a pipe band that wasn't very good to begin with, if you took a service band and you flushed them down that giant toilet bowl, that's how the pipes sounded. But the drums were tight. I mean, tempo was good.
Tempo's good, steady.
Heavy beat.
Bass
it was
drums
interesting.
Were big. Like the sound quality was good. Like the drum sounded good. The snare drum sounded sharp. The tenors.
They had the girls that were too pretty at music, just spinning the whole time instead of actually hitting the drum.
Pretty girls in the tenor section, as usual.
And they just didn't hit the drum. They just spun.
But the tenor sticks were like gigantic.
They were huge. Yeah, they were like foot long.
Like I'm like, how are they not hitting themselves in the face while they're doing this?
Fucking long tenor sticks.
But anyway, the reason I thought this was good was the drums. I was like,
some drumming.
It's like I'm jamming to these drums. Pipes were like, it's like the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and like not even in close. It was just like when you're just trying to annoy the drummers in an elevator.
Yes.
That's what they were playing. It's like just like arpeggios.
Yeah, it was like arpeggios.
All out of time. All out of tune. No drones. Marching like a goddamn cop band.
But I didn't hate it. Like,
I didn't hate it.
It was thinking like when I first pulled this up the other like a week ago, I was like, oh, what is this gonna be?
That performance is the Captain Morgan to the Black Roberts rum.
But what's interesting, Rab's in the chat. And he interviewed an Orthodox band from Israel, and it was a while ago now, and I'm very
those
vague
were
on,
those
I'm
weren't
very
Israelis,
vague
mate.
On the details. Very vague on the details, Rab, so you might correct me. And they did really well. They came to the Worlds and they did pretty well for themselves or whatever. But like, and this might be the different band. I can't remember.
It's a different band.
But I was like, the drums are good. Like, I'm okay with this. Like, all right. So like, I might be softening on this whole traditional pipe band style. Like, don't get me wrong. Stephen McWhorter, when he does fucking... Alex C. McGregor, the ending of that medley is so fucking gold that I can't even speak to how gold it is. However, there's something to be said for that American style marching band, quads, bass drums, simple snares, fucking drive. Like, what's that band?
I like Rab's comment. Different band. I chatted to the Sons of the Holy Land band. These guys are from Jerusalem.
Yes, that was
a lot
of
people consider
too.
Jerusalem to be the Holy Land, but
Yeah, but like that was a good band too. Like I listened to that whole shit because that's interesting to me, the whole Middle East thing.
Where's the Holy Land, Fusco? Just out of curiosity.
I have no fucking idea. Jerusalem, Middle East, Israel.
I was thinking
Jerusalem?
I was thinking Huntridge Tavern.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely that is the Holy Land. However,
although I did thoroughly love South America. Great food, beautiful women, good drinks.
I've never been to Mexico, even. I've been to the Caribbean.
I've never been to Mexico. I flew right over it. I flew right over it to go to Argentina.
Never been to Mexico. Yeah. But I would like to. But anyway.
Stag party?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Who's
stag party? Yours or mine?
No, yours.
Who's getting married?
You don't have to actually get married. We'll just say it's a stag party.
Let's do it that way. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, it's my buddy Fusco. He's getting married this week.
Just keep saying it. Like, oh, it's his birthday. Free drink. Okay, we'll just go to every place. It's his birthday. So, anyway.
God, remember we did that to fucking Bert? I told the people at the restaurant it was his birthday.
That's true. They brought out, like, a flaming cake. Flaming cupcake or something.
Well,
shit.
I got to pick, too. I got to pick the cake. So
that was so funny.
What was that after Port Rush?
It was Port Rush.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was like after Port because we were leaving. We were leaving pretty soon, so we all went out to dinner. And for those of you who don't know Adele's father, he likes to keep to himself.
He's quiet, shy, but
he's a funny guy,
gregarious, funny.
We had great fun with him when we went to Belfast.
Oh, I loved him. He was the funniest guy ever.
But yeah, no, we've probably told the story before. But yeah, no, I was like, hey, I've like finished my beer, and I'm like, I'm gonna go get a piss real quick. Anybody need anything while I'm up? Like, no, we're all good. I was like, cool.
Funny. So I went. Nobody saw it coming.
And I went. I was just like, so the bald guy with the beard.
It's his birthday.
No, not even close. And I like upped his age by like 10 years. I was like, it's like his 70th birthday. Can I pay you now and get a cake for him? And you guys come out and like sing him a happy birthday. And like, oh yeah, which one do you want? I was like, I think he'll like that one.
It was so funny.
The look on his fucking face.
The look on everybody's face, because they had the sparklers or whatever the fuck.
Sparklers on the cake.
On the cake. It was like, everybody was like very confused. Everyone was like, what? Because we didn't know. Nobody knew.
No, I couldn't give it up to anyone because none of you could have held it at that point.
Well, also, who are you goofing on? We couldn't tell because we didn't know.
Oh, I had to go for Bert.
Because it was nobody's birthday.
I went for Bert because he hosted us. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Here's a cake.
I mean, it made sense. Once it was over, it was like, oh my God, that's fucking hysterical.
He was mortified. He was looking at me. Like, he grabbed me by the shoulder. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
And he's like, IRA. No. He wasn't IRA.
He was military.
He was anti-IRA. Yeah, he was.
But yeah, no, that was the funniest thing ever. I was like, oh man. And they were so down. They were like, oh my God, absolutely. I think I told him he was like my grandpa or some shit.
Even better.
I was like, my grandpa's 70th birthday. Can I get him a cake? I'll pay you now. I don't want him to know. And they're like, oh yeah, totally. We'll do it up.
Oh, they did it up. They sang. They had the fucking sparklers.
Oh shit, it was so funny.
And Bert was like,
that is one of the best bits, guys, if you're out there in the world.
Oh, God, that was one of the funniest.
Tell
things.
The wait staff that it's someone's birthday, drop like 40 pounds on like a fancy cake with sparklers. It pays dividends. It's so worth it.
So fucking funny. That was like one of the classic bits the whole trip.
Just couldn't help myself.
It was a great idea. I'll give you credit for that. It was a great idea.
I have an erection.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of our episode. Fusco. How do you feel about being back? I don't think that we're going to make the Shatter the Moon Studios a more permanent location, but, you know,
I mean,
because traveling with all the crap's a pain in the ass.
Well, if we simplify our crap, crap, and then traveling is less
follow
crap.
Chanaran on YouTube to find behind the scenes of Josh building the new portable live stream setup.
And if you want to support us, go to patreon.com/Chanaran and donate that $5 back a month. You cunt. JD for canceling. And then we'll be able to afford more stuff and make this easier.
Perfection. Well, I am going to end the episode. For the people who are in the chat right now or Patreon audience, we are going to keep going for a bit. Fusco's going to hang
just
out and just
minutes.
Vamp.
Yeah, we'll vamp for a bit.
Thank you all again for listening to episode 209 of the Chain Rant Podcast. Follow us on Patreon. Check us out on all of our social media platforms. And we'll see you on the next one in 6 months.